that old wheel is gonna roll around once more. When it does, it will even up the score. Don't be weak, as they sow, they will reap. Turn the other cheek and don't give in.
Don't give in.
That old wheel will roll around again.
Dad will even the score.
When love is gone, and the one you thought would stay does you wrong.
Does you wrong.
And you're left alone to pay. The price is high.
Way high.
But through Christ you'll survive. Don't give in. That old wheel will roll around again.
Amen.
That old wheel, gonna roll around once more. When it does,
and when it does,
it will even up the score. Don't be weak,
don't be weak.
As they sow, they will reap. Turn the other cheek and don't give in. That old wheel will roll around again.
Play it, Paul, for the boy.
Times hard to control, and you'll find,
and you'll find,
you'll hurt down in your soul. There'll be those who'll be glad to see you down, but don't give in.
Amen.
That old wheel will roll around again. That old wheel,
it's
gonna roll around once more. When it does,
when it does,
it will even up the score. Don't be weak,
don't be weak.
As they sow, they will reap. Turn the other cheek and don't give in. That old wheel will roll around again.
That old wheel is gonna roll around once more. When it does,
when it does,
that will even up the score.
Don't be weak.
As they sow, they will reap. Turn the other cheek and don't give in. 'Cause that old wheel will roll around again. Roll around again.
And good morning and welcome to Coffee with the Radio Ranch Wranglers. This is Ranch Wrangler Richard coming to you live from the Radio Ranch this Saturday morning, November 13th, 2021. And, well, it is fall, and we'll hopefully let the CD stop. Yeah, there we go. And we do welcome you here. We've got a full crew this morning. Zach from Michigan, good morning. Thanks for joining us.
Good morning.
And Josh from way down south, thanks for being with us this morning, sir.
Yes, sir. Good morning.
And Jason, good morning to you.
Good morning.
And again, we say good morning to the remnant. Hope you've got your coffee. I've got a cup and a half out here, or I should say a jug and a half, and plenty of coffee. And my word, I hope you have your Bible with you. That's what we do. We gather in the name of Jesus Christ for fellowship and praise and, well, maybe go over some current events, take phone calls, and just a good time. It is hopefully an encouraging time, a time to encourage one another. And you know, many I think have said, I've heard some people comment that you used to could have a good conversation at the barbershop. You could go in and sit down, and there'd be other like-minded people there that you could talk with about maybe the events of the day or what was going on. But or even in an evening pub. And that goes back for years and years. No, not go and be a drunkard, but for fellowship and to talk about the events of the day. And we really don't have a lot of that in our society anymore, unfortunately. But we'll have the phone lines open this morning. We're going to open with prayer. Jason, we'd ask if you'd open us up in prayer.
Heavenly Father, we thank you for this day, and thank you for all that you've given us. And we ask, Father, for your blessing upon us as we go out on the radio today. We ask, Father, that you lead us, guide us, and direct us in the direction that we are to go. We pray that you attend to the needs of the saints across this land and that you be with your people, Father. We pray, Father, that you just continue to draw them closer to you and help them to draw closer to you as well. We pray, Father, that you guide us and direct us as a nation and as a people, Father, as we humbly hit our knees and cry out to you, Lord Jesus Christ, save us. Save us from the hands of our enemies, those who hate us, those who seek to destroy us. We hold up that shield of faith and that just ask, Father, that you extinguish any and all fiery darts of the enemy that come against your remnant, your people, your chosen people. We pray these things in Jesus Christ's name. Amen.
Amen.
Amen to that. And again, Remnant, the phone lines are open, 307-745-5913. And if you have a question or a comment, and, you know, I'm noticing it a little bit more, being that public school's back in session, and quite a bit going on there. We're seeing more and more people, even in our area, look at homeschooling, pulling their children out, and I see in some of the news media outlets this morning that it's that way as well. I know and it's not just that the parents are waking up and pulling their children out of school. But they're waking up and seeing what has been being taught. There was I saw a news blurb this week that a woman was told to stop and was escorted out of a school board meeting because she was reading from a book that the children are taught out of, and it was embarrassing everybody because it was pornographic, and homosexual pornographic at that. But that's what is in the fool system. That's what's in the school system. And at this public meeting, they were faces turning red and this and that. And she's just letting them know this is what's being taught to our children. And they made her stop reading and escorted her out of the meeting. And that's happened a couple of times here in Arizona, or down there in Arizona. Report says that the Arizona school board president kept sensitive personal information on protesting parents, you know, like where they work. So maybe we could talk to the people they work with and shame them there, and who their children are, so we could have retribution against them. And basically an enemies list. And so I rejoice that these things are being exposed. They're coming to light. And I think even maybe some of the unchurched are seeing this because it is, and it's been going on for a while, but it's being exposed. I guess that's the thing that I'm excited about, that people are finally seeing it. You know, when you see something, when you see these people that come to steal, kill, and destroy, that are wolves in sheep's clothing, that say one thing, you know, maybe whose lips praise him, but whose heart is far from him. When you can see these things, it's good. It's good that you've awoken, that you are woke. How about that? We'll use that term. To these, the plots of the enemy. But when others can't, and you can, it's disheartening. You know, it's tough. It's confusing, and it is discouraging at times when you can see these things and others can't. And so it is encouraging that there are parents, not just here in little old Laramie, but in Fort Collins, and Zach, you've talked about it out in Michigan, that what we've seen, and you know, in Connecticut, and all over this country. In many different ways, that parents are, some, not all, it's not going to be all, but some are waking up. And that's encouraging. It is. I think that's the beginning. I really do. Comments, thoughts?
I was talking with the guy
yesterday, and we were talking about the events that's going on, and the thing that he was talking about was where are we going to find people to continue on after us, because everybody dogs the generation that's coming up for being lazy and don't know how to work and stuff like that. And I looked at that guy and I told him, well, we're going to help make them. I'm like, we don't really have any decent parents in this land, and we're going to help make them. That's what we're going to do. That's the solution. And, you know, we see all these things going on. We know it can't be sustained. And you see all these people rising up at school boards because they've had enough. And we're going to make them. We're going to forge them. And necessity is going to create the motivation for all this change that's going on. And we can do it God's way, or we can continue to do it without God. It's our choice. And you guys have heard me in my last couple of times that I've had the honor to give the Sunday morning lesson. We're either going to do it God's way, or we're going to do it Satan's way, blended or unblended, whatever. But it's going to require work and action, and it's going to require a mindset to get this turned around, not just here in this nation, but every other Israelite nation. And, you know, it's going to require people thinking differently and taking actions. So, and we see the enemy doing it. I mean, we see them thinking differently and teaching our kids improperly. They're taking action, and now we're starting to take action, and it is going to change. I don't know how things are going to shake out, but it is going to change, and that makes me excited, because Jesus tells us that when we see these things going on, that we are to rejoice because our redemption draws near. This is awesome, and what an honor for us to be able to take part of it. What an honor to be a tool or an arrow in the quiver of our Lord. That's what I think.
Amen.
I would agree with you, Zach. It's exciting, and I think that exactly what's going to happen is we're just going to have to create it, and we're going to build it, and we're going to work harder at it.
For sure.
You know, big.
And the thing of it is, it's in more areas than what we realize. I was listening to this rancher talking from Montana, and he does the rotational grazing. He's trying to make the land that he's been handed better, and he's talking about fertilizer shortages. So the conventional way that all these guys around here that we know how to do it, I mean, we're not talking, Jason, you might know, but we're talking a huge up in prices. I don't think it's down the road. I think it's right here. And we can change.
I think so, too.
I mean, you know anything about those prices or anything like that, Jason, and how that's shaken out?
Yeah, and a couple things that I wanted to get into today was, we just saw this last month, we saw 6% inflation. I've noticed it, I've been talking about how, Home Depot prices or hardware store prices, how it's every time you go in there, the prices just go up on stuff. I mean, it's... It was crazy. This week we were in a electrical supply house looking at trying to get a panel. I mean, the same panel that I bought 6 months ago with a 42-circuit panel with breakers, enclosure, everything, $600-$700. Now $1,200 to $1,500. That's a big difference. And talking with the gentleman that was at the electrical supply house, he was talking about the shortages of stuff that they're seeing on a regular basis, and said, he said, next thing you know is they'll turn around and there's a bolt or a screw or something that they need, and there's a $5 million nationwide back order on them. and can't get it. Said the prices go up daily on the stuff that they have, or the stuff that they're ordering. And he said, you know, he said, I can't get product. He said, in a year and a half, I might be out of business because I can't get product.
Well,
yeah, and that's just an electrical supply warehouse. You know, the for not really raw material, but the things you need to build with. And yeah, I was down there with Jason when we talked to that guy. It was you know, you and he volunteered all this stuff. It wasn't like, you know, it wasn't like Jason's asking him, hey, what's going on here and there? He just said, hey, it's, you know, this panel, yeah, I can get it, $1,200, but unavailable right now. Didn't he say the breakers were unavailable right now? I mean, it just, and it's like that everywhere. I'm working on my son's car and can't get a sway bar for it. Oh, yeah, December 9th, they think they'll have the raw material in to where they can make one. They think. And this has been already 6 weeks.
Yeah.
And we're seeing that over and over and over. There's a change. It's not that a change is coming. The change is here. It's just the people aren't waking up to it yet. The people aren't seeing it. That, and it's not just those, whatever it was, 161 ships off the coast of California. It's not just that. This same electrical guy, Jason, didn't he say he had like 3 warehouse jobs available and couldn't get people to apply?
Yeah, he said he had 3 jobs at... he didn't say what position, but he said 3 jobs with incentives that started $100,000 a year, and he can't get anybody to apply.
Yeah. Basically in the warehouse. Not out working in the wind. Not out working night shift. In the warehouse. Nice, clean, new warehouse. I mean, it was. I was impressed with the place. And he can't get people. You could tell he was frustrated. And that's what's happening. That's these parents that are showing up madder than hell at these school board meetings, because the ones that they're working and they're trying to keep things going, and it's a it you know, they don't see a light at the end of the tunnel. I don't think this guy did. He was red. He was flustered. You know, he and that's going to carry on over into, you know, heck, the electricians, the contractors, the builders, the people wanting houses or businesses built, 30 to 40% price increases, and that's here now. It is. It's been real evident in the fuel, and what does the current government administration say? We need to close more pipelines. We need to close some more down. It is insanity, but it is building back better for them. That's a whole different, you know, deal that they passed on that. But it is building back better for them. But that means destroying us, and then building back better. I sincerely believe there's rough times ahead for this nation.
Yeah, I think so too. So there's going to be the have and the have not. And make sure you're one of those people that are the ones that are the haves. And I'm not talking about a big fat bank account, because like what Jason said there, inflation went up 6% there in the last month or two. Well, that means your buying power. You don't have the buying power you did literally within the last 6 weeks. Just go to the gas station, you know. So, you know, get stocked up on stuff. Because I do think it's coming too. And, you know, I mean, be ready. Get all your survival skills out, because, you know, you might be calling on them. I hope not, but you just may. And, you know, it's very difficult to see what's coming, but, you know, for some reason it doesn't really intimidate me. And
it shouldn't.
Josh, what are your thoughts? I know you were trying to say something there a minute ago.
So this morning was just pondering how many times we are instructed in the Bible to examine ourselves. And here recently, that's been something that I've been putting. We can't fool ourselves. We can lie to ourselves. We don't need any help with that from the man or the enemy or whatever. And so we constantly got to be measuring ourselves by that yardstick of the word and seeing if our compass is showing due north or if we need to be recentered. You know, and that's a big part of how you see the world around you is making sure that your north is north, because if not, you can't know what's on the left and is on the right. Knowing yourself, knowing your motives, knowing the direction you're pushing and why is crucial always, but especially right now.
Yeah, I agree.
You know, I was thinking about the system coming down, and the system's been coming down for years, and it's been going up, and but it's not always even about it and it falling. It's also about what effect it has on us and whether or not we are holding that system in a place where it shouldn't be, in esteem such as a godly esteem, you know, and being out of order. Pastor Peter and I have talked, you know, a few times in about the fact of us being in Babylon. His thing was, you know, we're here and we've earned this where we're at, you know, through our sins as a nation. So you're going to be here, but we can still prosper here as long as we follow God's word and God's will and look to him as the answer and make sure that we don't get crossed up in our minds, tie a knot in our minds and in some way go to depending on some system other than his system.
Josh, I think you put that in an absolutely perfect way. How do we view the system? And that's probably one of the best ways I've ever heard that put. And I think when we do a self-examination and how we view the system, you know, maybe we should have a little more fear in our life, and maybe we aren't quite as ready as we thought we were. Because, you know, this system acts like God. And clearly, as a nation, we've chose this system over God. That's my thoughts on that. I thought that was well done.
Yeah, you know what? Those people that lived through what we call in our nation the Great Depression, you know, the late 20s, the 1930s in this land, and I come from down south. And I remember growing up and having grandparents, grandmas anyway, talk about that time when they were children and when they were young adults. And aunts and uncles, actually great aunts and uncles, talk about that time. And, you know, there was no money. There was no cash. But, you know, they got by. There was no government handouts, and they got by. And it was hard times. It really was. But families came together, and neighborhoods, communities came together, and you know, those that were on, you might say, on the land, those that were, I remember my dad even telling me that, you know, there were times, because, and he came out of it, you know, he was born in 1934, born in it, and but I remember him telling me when he remembered as a young man that they didn't have much, but they had food. And they were thankful for that. Because he said there were a lot of people in that time that didn't have food. And, you know, that's where that is where a lot of the, whatever social help that the government puts out that has just grown into this unmanageable beast today. But that is where a lot of those things came from. But the people took care of the people. And the churches took care of the people because they had to. And we got by as a nation. Now, the parasite didn't. You know, the parasite can't live with that. They just can't. And that was the thought that occurred to me when you were saying that, Josh, that we do. We have to align or realign with the Word. And that doesn't always happen when you're fat and happy. You know, when you're that's what the Song of Moses says, you know, that God blessed his people and they grew fat and kicked against him. And that doesn't happen overnight. But I think that's what's happened in this nation. We've grown fat and happy as a people and kicked against God, kicked him out of every aspect of public and almost every aspect of private life. And as a nation, we've become misaligned with the Word. And so many of these Judeo-Christian pastors and these radio pastors and whatnot, they and these mega pastors, they've tried to realign the Word with this ungodly society and culture that is so prevalent in the land. And you can't realign the Word. The Word is that alignment. Josh, I like how you put that too, that true north. And because when you're off, you just, the further you go, the further off you get, until you go back and get realigned. And this nation needs to get realigned with the Word. You know, the things that are the changes that are happening, the millions that of illegals that have invaded this nation are still kind of in a holding pattern. Texas is changing drastically. The places that the government is flying and shipping and busing these invaders all over the nation. There was an article a couple weeks ago, and some of the left-wing liberals up there in D.C. were saying, yeah, you know, we probably need to send some to Wyoming because they're way too white, way too Christian, and we need to change that. I mean, they're just that bold. They just come out and say it. So we need to send more of our, they call them refugees, of course, but they're just invaders. We need to send more of them there. And changes are they're already happening. We're going to be seeing them more and more. We really are. Well, guys, let's try the phone lines. It's ringing this morning. Good morning and welcome to Coffee with the Wranglers.
Good morning, Richard.
Good morning, Warren.
Yeah, we're listening to Coffee with the Wranglers. Jill and I, grew up kind of in a hard time, especially Sheila. She was raised in a family of 10. They didn't have any running water, and they had wood heat. And her dad supported a family at 10 minimum wage, which was 90 cents an hour about back in them days. And I remember my mother talking about the Great Depression, where they'd take on, I guess you could call them hobos. They call them hired men. They'd work for room and board. My dad was a sawmill operator and a lumberjack all his life. One time, when I was real little, a tree fell on me, broke his leg. He's laid up for almost a year. Back in those days, we didn't have workman's comp. Somebody bought us a big freezer, filled it up with food. Our rent was paid. And we had shoes and clothes, and Jill and I were homeless ourselves twice when I got out of the Army, and myself, we moved back up to Wisconsin in 1989, and we were trying to buy a house, and the landlord kicked us out, and we ended up living in a tent, you know, until October when it snowed, and we finally closed our house. We also lived in a tent for a couple of months out in Alabama, so we know what it is to be homeless and go through hard times. And I believe as a nation, we will come together and take in oboes or whatever, and there'll be people working for room and board or whatever, but we will survive it.
Well, Warren, thanks for the call. Yeah, it. I think, you know, so many people have forgotten those hard times, and I think those and more are coming again. I really do. Well, Warren, thanks for the call, brother. You have a blessed weekend. God bless. Phone lines are open, Remnant, 307-745-5913. Go right ahead.
One of the things he was saying there when his dad broke his leg, and somebody bought his family a freezer, and the rent was paid and all that. Like he was talking about that. And as he was talking about that, I was sitting there thinking, that is how a Christian society needs to function. And when even today, when you see something hard like that happen to a family, you'll see that neighborhood, you know, and I've seen it happen several times around here in my life, where a family falls on hard times, and the community, that's that, you know, I believe that's that law that's written on the heart of Israel, and they just, they'll go in there and they'll take that family and make sure they're taken care of the best they can. And it simply doesn't matter what kind of shenanigans the government is trying to pull. When you see that kind of stuff going on, I mean, that gives me hope. It doesn't matter the crap that they're doing. When you see that, that's a Christian mentality. That's an Israelite mentality, and they're taking care of their own. And, you know, that's the kind of thing that I see, that I know that the Word of God is true, and that that law is written in those people's hearts, because that stuff has taken place. And it still goes on to this day. And that's one thing that this church has really kind of let people down on. You know, I'm not saying that they don't help, but I've seen other situations where churches have had opportunities to help people, and because they weren't of that body or that ministry, they weren't willing to help them, and that wasn't right. So, you know, I guess that's my thoughts on that little part of Warren's story there. It's a great story.
Amen. Amen. Well, Josh, let me ask you, how down south, how what's the attitude down there? Everybody masking up or laughing at people that are or what?
It's just a mixture. You got folks all over the place. A lot of people do see that things are happening and things are changing, and there's discussion about the current events, you know, every time you turn around. I believe a lot of folks are waking up for sure. But, you know, that's a multi-step process. It don't just happen in a day. It takes time. And thankfully God's been merciful on us, and he's given us time to come around. But yeah, I don't think anybody here is denying. I mean, we got folks that are having to get out of cattle business regularly just because it's not working anymore. You know, it costs you money to have a farm, and that takes a toll on folks. Got more and more people on antidepressants that you'd never even imagine would be, you know. Was talking to a guy the other day that I thought pretty solid, squared away guy. And, you know, he just put it out there like it was normal, that he had to, you know, had to get on medication to help cope with stuff. And we should see that there's something wrong, something out of order in our lives if we've got to medicate ourselves, to numb ourselves, to be able to continue going down the path that we're on.
Yeah, I agree. And, you know, but, I mean, as I talk with you, Josh, it's like you look at where the world is and what has been going on out there and what you see on the news, but, you know, look what God's done in your life and where he's put you and how the changes that he's made in your life. You know, Zach, same thing with you. You look at what's happened in your life and how different it is, you know, even 6 months from looking 6 months back, the changes that have opened up in your life. And, you know, I think that, you know, we see a lot of these things that are happening around us. Same things happened in my life. And it's, you know, God's changing us. God's molding us. He's putting things different in our lives, different challenges in our lives, different responsibilities in our lives, things that are changing. And, you know, it's really exciting.
It is, and it's such an exercise, you know. It's a lifestyle, looking for his will and trying to be where he wants you to be. Because we all know, and it makes sense to say, that we want to be wherever God wants us to be. But it's a whole other thing to actually do it and to wait on him and to pray and to seek. And, you know, there's times of wonder and times you just got to wait. And pray and suck it up and tough it out. And but then when he shows you, you can't be scared. You gotta go with what he shows you. And a good friend of mine, he's an older fella, called me and was talking to me day before yesterday. He said, "Let me tell you, let me give you one piece of advice." He said, "Don't spend a single day looking back." He said, "Keep on looking forward to what's ahead of you." And that's a simple statement, but there's a lot of wisdom in that. And you can get a lot of peace out of that, you know, versus looking back and wondering what if. I think there was a little Bible story about that somewhere, you know, of looking back. I don't think it turned out real well for the folks to look back.
Yeah, amen. You know, that's what we are to do. We are to look forward. Who was it, Paul, that wrote, you know, forgetting what lies behind and looking forward. You know, we certainly need to learn from the past. But yeah, you know, we're being, I like how you put it, Jason, we're being changed. You know, we're being each and every one of us, as we, the Bible talks about it, grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And you know, we need to be looking forward. We do, aligning ourselves with the Word, as you said earlier, Josh, and realizing that this system is going down. This house of cards, it is falling. You know, this this Kyle Rittenhouse, 18-19 year old, they're having he's on. In court, you know, they charged him. He shot those two people, killed two, and wounded a third one. And the ones that he killed, they were what? One's a pedophile. One's a had already been charged with as a felon. Another one's a wife beater, basically. I've seen a couple little parts of it, and you know, the prosecution in it. Seems like it's defending Kyle, this guy that's being charged, this young man, and there's this, and I just mentioned that because I think that's one of the latest of the enemy turning on themselves, and they're not, there's not this this concentrated, organized front. They have confusion in their ranks. How about that? I'll leave it at that. And we'll go back to the phone lines. I see the phone line here. So good morning. Welcome to Coffee with the Wranglers.
Good morning, brothers. I think the brother hit it right on the head as far as getting back true north. And I say that because I heard a brother preach on Psalm 110. And just to put it out there, Psalm 110 is an example that we can't limit the Lord. When this spiritual judgment falls, who says we're going to have to eat? The Lord is in control now. And in Psalm 110, the Lord gives his oath. And his oath is his covenant. And the enemy's job, the matrix's job, is to break that covenant. This is about contracting. Are we going to contract with the matrix, or are we going to re-covenant with the Lord? But I suggest that the brethren read Psalm 110 and Psalm 111, and we'll see. The Lord makes a promise that he will make our enemies his footstool, because we are in covenant with the Lord, and the Lord's enemies are our enemies. So I just want to give that word of encouragement, Psalm 110 and Psalm 111, and we can't limit the Lord. And we appeal to heaven. We petition the Lord with his oath, with his promises. And I just want to give you two scriptures. Psalm 111, he has given meat unto them that fear him. He will ever be mindful of his covenant. He has showed his people the power of his works, that he may give them the heritage of the heathen. And that's what Pastor Pete talked about, the teeter-totter. And we're here. We got to revisit what we've that. Look at the, I just looked up the two constitutions and how the matrix was established, the corporate matrix, in 1871. Go revisit that. Go revisit, you know, things that were started. Now it's happening. So I just want to encourage you with one Psalm 110, 111. 110 is unfulfilled. We got to look for the unfulfilled promises and stay in the covenant. Or we're re-covenanting because we've been beguiled. So we can't look at it in those terms. I just want to give you some encouragement.
Hey, appreciate it. Thank you. Thank you. And that's happened before, that re-covenant. You know, you when you're reading 2 Kings and then again in 2 Chronicles of Hezekiah, that's what he did. You know, he led the people. They were in captivity. And they believed. And they did that. They re-covenanted with God, and they were blessed. And you know, we have his word today, his instructions, what we are to do, what we're not to do. And I think it just continues to go back to Isaiah 52, to awake, awake. I think that was one of the earliest pamphlets that Pastor Peters printed out, one of his early messages, and he words it, awake, awake, O America, and it is foundational. It really is, because that's what we have to do. It's part of that realigning.
Well, and a couple other things that have happened in the news. You know, this week, Florida, they came out and DeSantis said that they were suing the government, they were suing NASA, they were suing everybody that was trying to have their mask, or not mask mandate, but their vaccine mandate. There's been a couple other places that have followed suit with that. I think it was Oklahoma National Guard director came out and said that we're not going to do the jab. We're not National Guard here. Yeah, that's what it was. The Oklahoma National Guard has rejected the Defense Department's requirement for all service members to receive the coronavirus vaccine and will allow personnel to sidestep the policy with no repercussions, a potential blueprint for Republican governors who have called and challenged Biden administration mandates. DeSantis basically did the same thing in Florida, and yesterday, the protest that that we had here in Larimer County was successful because the health department decided that and came out and said, we are not going to spend any more time or any efforts on trying to get a vaccine passport put into place. That has been dropped, and we're not doing it. So, you know, and that's people that have made up their mind to stop doing what to show up, to protest, voice their opinion, and to put their tongue on the top of their mouth and say no. And it's sometimes there's a lot of people that just say, oh, it's in God's hands, and I can just, you know, we're just going to pray about it. Well, there's a lot of power in that, but sometimes you got to get out there and voice your opinion. And you know, God gives you a brain, and you got to use it.
I would like to add one thing to that.
Reminds me of a...
Go ahead, Josh.
Well, just that reminds me of a conversation that you and I have had in depth many times about Lord ready, being ready to punish all disobedience when our obedience is complete.
Yep.
And so many times people take that verse and they neuter it and they make it into something, well, you've got to be perfect for him to punish the disobedience. But that's not what it says. It says that our obedience is complete. And so when we follow his orders for us, for the day, and we get to where we're in line for the instructions on this mission, whether it be going to that protest, whether it be carrying your AR that seems crazy to a lot of us into a riot, but whatever it is, when God puts a mission on your heart and you go and you act on that mission, then you're being completely obedient to whatever it is that he's telling you to do. And that's where the work happens. That's whenever,
yep,
you know, he shows out.
Well, Jeremiah 12, the prayer of Jeremiah, and in my Bible it says Jeremiah's prayer, says, righteous are you, Lord, when I plead my case with you. Nevertheless, I would discuss matters of justice with you. Why has the way of the wicked prospered? Why are all those who deal in treachery at ease? You have planted them. You have also taken root. They grow. They also produce fruit. You are near to their lips, but far from their mind. But you know me, Lord. You see me and examine my heart's attitudes towards you. Drag them off like sheep for the slaughter and set them apart for the day of slaughter. How long is the land to mourn and the vegetation of the countryside to dry up? Due to the wickedness of those who live in it, animals and birds have been snatched away because people have said, he will not see our final end. If you have run with infantrymen and they have tired you out, how can you complete with horses? If you fall down in the land of peace, how will you do in the thicket of the Jordan? For even your brothers and your households of your father, even them have dealt treacherously with you. Even they have called aloud after you. Do not believe them through they say nice things to you. And it goes on and on, and then the next part is God's answer. I have forsaken my house. I have abandoned my inheritance. I have, and it is, so it's worth reading. It's something that you can completely apply to just about everything that's going on today.
Amen.
One of the things I would like to add in agreement with that caller before and what you were saying, Jason, about prayer, and there's a lot of powerful into it, but when you are petitioning the Lord, you are doing the right thing. That's a form of petitioning the Lord, because we all know if we're doing the right thing and we have the right motives behind it, then the Lord is going to recognize that and honor that. Because we all know, especially on this ministry, when you go against that, you're going to get Deuteronomy 28. And if we're, and if we are not,
yep,
it's that simple.
I mean, it is.
Really. So, and so when you do the right thing, the land, God, everything has to respond. it doesn't have a choice in the matter, you know? So do the right thing. You're petitioning the Lord when you do that. Whether it, and it, I mean, there's so many ways you can do that. Like Josh said, going to the protest, helping a young person become a man,
right,
to set him up to be prosperous. I mean, there's so many different ways you can do that and accomplish those goals. It's wonderful. I mean, I love how this ended up, the way it turned it. I mean, do the right thing. I agree 100% with Josh, Jason, and that last caller. 100%.
Well, it looks like we've got time for one more caller.
And the way that we have...
Let's try the phone line. Good morning. Welcome to the program.
Good morning, Wranglers. It's Suzanne from New York. What I have to say to this is, how about it, us women who will have to pray even more so that the man will have the balls to stand for all of us? It shouldn't be the women being the mother bear standing in for the children alone. We need the men to stand firm and to walk with God, to have this fight for us. And we can pray for that while the men are doing the active duty. That's my prayer. Thank you so much.
Amen.
Bye-bye. God
bless. I agree with you Amen. A lot, Suzanne. And, you know, I went and seen a woman that was running for governor in the state of Colorado. And I'll tell you what, she's... I wish it was a man that was standing on her principles, but it's not. It's a woman, and you know, it's like she got it by she got the job by default. You know, Christine Noem down there in South Dakota. I think the same thing. It's like, you know, people. The Bible says you're not to have women and children rule over you, or you know, a woman is not to rule over you. But it's, you know, she got the job by default. There was nobody that ran on her principles or you know, her beliefs or convictions.
Yeah, where's the guys that are going to do that in that area? So, you know, no matter which way you cut it, it is because of a lack of knowledge of the Bible and the men not being men, period. Not being just men and God-fearing men. So, you know, guys can always sit there and say that they're, you know, the king of their households and all this other stuff and walk around with a big mane when you're around your Christian brothers. But, you know, the proof is in the pudding and then in the results. The results, you always got to look at the results, you know, and just take a look around and see what kind of results. It's men not being men.
Right. Well, and the, you know, the word.
Those men that you're speaking of are us. It's not something that's part of that examining yourself. Is whenever you examine yourself, you see your own fault. And when you see a fellow that's apart from the blood of Christ, got a bunch of holes in him from the sins that he's committing, it's hard to look down and judge somebody else. It's a lot easier to be sympathetic with somebody else and try to teach them and help them than it is to judge them and scorn them. That's the people that we keep talking about is us. And that's why it's so important to examine ourselves and then bleed that blood of Christ so that we can be perfected, but then not sit on that, try to put ourselves on that throne of judgment.
Amen to that. Amen to that. Well, again, Suzanne, thank you for so much. God bless. And the word tells us that he will let the house of Israel do that. God says, I will let the house of Israel ask me for men. And praise God, we're seeing that. We are. Well, guys, we are all but out of time. Any? We've got a couple minutes. Any closing comments?
I would just say I agree with Josh 100%. Examine your own life, and you know, everybody's got a trash can somewhere in their life, and generally it stinks. So that's everybody. So I agree with you, Josh, 100%.
Amen.
And so that's what. Thanks, listening to what you were saying earlier, and all the advice that you were given and the things that we've learned, the way you have that is because we've screwed all that up already. You know, it's not that we've got some kind of perfect insight or whatever. You know, it's just that we done been there and done that and got the scars to prove it, and enough times for it to sink through our hard heads. You know, so it ain't nothing about pride or anything like that. It's just trying to share with folks because we love them, and we don't want them to see them go down the same roads that that we've had to make different mistakes, so that we can all, as a body, benefit from those and share them.
Yeah. Well said.
Amen. Well, Remnant, we invite you to join us. We thank you for tuning in today, and we invite you to join us at church tomorrow. You can join us at scriptures4america.org, starting at 8:30 a.m. Mountain. That's 9:30 Central, 10:30 Eastern, and 7:30 out on the West Coast. I know we've got some out there that tune in. And join us. Praise and worship to the King of Kings. We'll have a timeless pulpit truth that, you know, I think we could almost call it a timeless prophetic truth, because the things that we're seeing that were preached years ago are coming true today. So we hope that you'll join us, gather with us, like-minded believers. We'll partake of communion. We'll talk about that, and that's an important thing for us to do. If you don't have our communion book, Pastor Peter's book that he wrote on communion, its potential blessings, curses, and need, we recommend that you get it. And it's even got a recipe for the communion bread in the back. So hopefully we'll see you at church tomorrow. Thanks again, men. Have a great weekend.
Rolling, 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 stay high.
Ha! Ha!
Keep rolling, 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 though this country's stolen. Keep on rolling over, snake high. Fast and pray together, make them hell send forever, knowing the King is by our side. Those old snakes are clever, but Jesus is forever. God's waiting at the end of our ride.
Move them out, head them off, head them off. Move them out, head them off, snake high.
Disapproving, keep on moving over, snake high. Don't try to understand them, just curse and stomp and strand them. Soon we'll be tanning their snake hides. My heart's calculating, our King will be waiting, be waiting at the end of our ride.
Move them out, head them off, head them off. Move them out, head them off, snake high.
Disapproving, keep on moving over, snake hide. Don't try to understand them, just curse and stomp and strand them. Soon we'll be tanning their snake hide. My heart's calculating, barking.